It used to be chill. It's all up in smoke. I think I'm still fun. Parenting's a joke.
Hello, listeners. This is Parenting is a Joke. I'm a little crack on a phone screen named Ophira Eisenberg. On the show, we bring together professional, funny people to talk about their careers and their creative work and also how they are managing that with being a parent. That's right. How the fuck are they doing it? So this morning, my son said actually the sweetest thing to me. He said, "You know, Mom, anytime I feel bad, you make me feel better with mom magic." And I was like, "Oh my God, yes." Like, I give you a little kiss or a hug and I tell you I love you. And he said, "No, like you give me some candy or a toy, you know, something I really want. Mom magic." I was like, "Oh no, that's called guilt. That's the guilt." My guest today is Mike Feeney, very funny comedian and a brand new dad. And he has a lot to say about those first few months of fatherhood.
You know, the first 4 months, utter monster, hate that phase, don't know why anybody would do. Like, that alone stops me from ever considering having a second kid.
Oh, yeah. More with me and Mike Feeney right after this break. Hey, maybe during these ads, you can do a little self-care, like take a sip of water, do some deep breaths, because, you know, that's what we want this podcast to feel like something just for you. Self-care has gotten really depressing, but no, we can redo it. Water, breathing, and some of this.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Is it spring or is it global warming? Such a fun game. But at least now that it's March, we can pretend that it's seasonally appropriate. Yay! So coming up, I talked to the very funny Mike Feeney, and we work together in the clubs a lot. He's a brand new dad, and we also talk about the age we are with little tiny kids. Now, Mike is a young father, as far as I'm concerned. He's in his mid-30s, for God's sakes. Like, I'm just talking to him going, really? You're just going to throw away all these good years? Dude, you don't have a clock. You could be 90. People. But aging and life cycle, this is something that we're constantly talking about in my house. I understand these concepts are really big for kids when they are 7, 8, 9. You know, lots of questions from my son about how old was your grandmother when she died? How old was Hank Aaron when he died? And one of the ways I've tried to soften this newfound curiosity in mortality is by saying, they lived a full life. You know, like when someone dies in their 80s or 90s. Trying to instill a celebration of a long life rather than just a focus on death. But I guess I say it a lot. Because recently, when he asked how old Biden and Trump are, I told him their ages, and he said, "Oh, but wait, they've lived a full life." Good point. So then the next day, we are walking to school, and my son says, "Do you know what century the year 1655 is in?" And I said no, even though I knew the right answer. Maybe I didn't. But the game is for him to tell me. And he goes, 17th century, because we're always one ahead. Like right now, we're in the 21st century. And then he asked, Mom, do you think we're going to be alive in the 24th century? And I said, no, nobody lives for hundreds of years. And he just looked at me and went, oh, great, Mom, thanks. Now I have to think about that all morning, and ran off to the schoolyard as I panicked and yelled, maybe there will be some advances in medical science soon. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Now we're both anxious. I want to tell you that I recently spoke to a psychic who is also a medium who asked me, would you like me to connect with some of your relatives who have passed? Actually, that's not what she said. She said, and I quote, would you like me to collab with some of your relatives who have passed? Yeah. I was like, oh, so you're more like an influencer for the brand Death? Cool. And I said, no, I'm good. She was not happy with that. She was like, are you sure you don't want me to, like, ask some questions to these people? And I was like, oh, my God, they're dead. And they still have to answer my questions? I don't want to answer my kids' questions when I'm dead. I don't want to be like, oh, my God, I do not know where you left your hoodie. Let me rest. And you know what? Honestly, with my relatives, I don't want to hear their answers, okay? I have fear of confrontation, even with the people who have passed. Like, I do not need to hear that my dad is disappointed that I'm not living up to my potential, also from the afterlife. But back on this plane, someone who is getting no rest is new dad and comedian Mike Feeney. My chat with him begins right now. My guest today, I see at the clubs all the time. His debut album, Rage Against the Routine, premiered at number one on iTunes, people. He's been featured on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Barstool Sports, Funny or Die, Food Network's Restaurant Stakeout, and also a parent. Interesting. Mike Feeney, everybody.
Hi, I'm so glad. I know not enough people mention my restaurant stakeout appearance.
So just so our listeners know, I'm being totally transparent because this is parenting related.
Yeah.
We were going to interview you on earlier in the week, and then you had to cancel because you had to take your kid to the doctor.
I mean, I will say this. Parenting so far has been great, but like people very flippantly just kind of brush off that, like, oh, your kid's gonna get sick a lot once he starts going to daycare. But like, they don't like stress, like, no, he's not gonna have the sniffles, like, he's gonna have malaria, and you will also have malaria, and then you'll have to parent with malaria. And so, I mean, since we started him in daycare in November.
How old is he?
He's 15 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's very cute.
Are you comfortable with sharing his name?
Leo. Yeah, his name is Leo. Leo James. Okay. And he's the absolute best. You know, the first 4 months, utter monster. Hate that phase. Don't know why anybody would do. Like, that alone stops me from ever considering having a second kid, is how brutal those first 4 months are. Women, and I feel like women particularly seem to have like a Vietnam trap mind steel cage where they can seemingly forget how hard that part was. And they're like, it wasn't that bad. I love him. Let's do it again. But
that's just evolution speaking.
The other thing is the rolling of the dice of, forget the infant stage, like having the kid, all of the stuff from pregnancy to carrying to term to the stuff that happened. We did IVF, so like it was a long process to have the kid. And then, but she had all the shots she had to do. This is how if there's men out there who are like misogynistic or more just like don't or take for granted women in general, I think they should have to like be heavily involved in a woman going through IVF because like the amount of like not just the pregnancy, the amount of shots they have to do to prime that, getting blood work every week, going there all the time, being pregnant and then giving birth. It's like it's a
what you put your body through.
It's she's a superhero. And then thankfully she had an incredibly great pregnancy where she had like no morning sickness and she was she felt like mentally she was like the best she's ever felt in her life. She had all these like endorphins and she was like in a great place and space and stuff, and her delivery was like shockingly good. It was like she had a 21-minute labor or something.
Oh
like
my
that
God.
Like it was
ideal.
Like yeah it was it was truly like unbelievable because she tried to wait as long as she could to go to the hospital, and then they got there.
I did
there.
The same thing.
Yeah, we got there and they're like, you're like all about to give birth. And she's like, oh, really? So we thought we were going to get sent home. So that was lucky. However, 48 hours after, you know, having the baby, and once we got back home, she was feeling all sorts of weird. And then her blood pressure was 200 over 100 or something crazy. Like, she had that preeclampsia, which usually you have one, you're pregnant. So she had that, which is that silent killer blood pressure thing. So she had to go back to the hospital, and she was stayed in the hospital for, I think it was 5 days.
Oh,
and
whoa.
Because basically they go, we have to make sure your blood pressure is at a normal rate for 24 hours. And then, like, if it, the second it isn't, then it resets the clock, which then, of course, if they're monitoring your blood pressure every hour and you're in a hospital and you have a newborn and you want to be home and you're like nervous about having a newborn
oh
and everything
God,
else,
you're just...
naturally every time it'd be like 20 hours of a normal blood pressure and then it would spike again. So thankfully now she's on blood pressure medicine, all that stuff's done. But so even something like that, we go, to do all that again, like, we don't even know, you know, what any of the health ramifications of all that stuff.
So what happened? She goes back to the hospital. Are you like, oh my God, here we go. Newborn baby in my hands.
Initially, I was like, we'll just go back to the hospital because she's obviously terribly upset and also physically feeling insane. And I'm also like, I don't know what I'm going to do. My mom had like come up, but I was like, we're just going to go to the hospital. So I took Leo back to the hospital and we were like, we'll just stay there with you. But again, we had a 2-day-old, so he was just crying and, you know, she was not able to get any sleep, obviously. So after like one of the nights, I was like, this isn't good for you because she's not sleeping. She's up all night. She's like, you know, flustered. So I go, as much as this is going to be brutal, like, I think the best move is for us to go back home so you can actually get some rest. So then we did, and my mom was helping out. But it was one of the, it was terrifying.
Oh, my God.
Being a parent is one thing, but being a mother seems like it's a whole different level. It's a whole different ball of wax.
And you're supporting her. You're providing for her. And then you're also like, it's 7 p.m. I'm hitting the subway to go do shows.
Oh. By the way, I forgot to mention, I decided to do a wildly high concept comedy special when my kid was 10 weeks old, where I shot, you know, I did the special, I just did the special at night at the Comedy Cellar where I did all 4 rooms of the Comedy Cellar in one night. And then that wasn't enough to do that, is that I also directed it and I also edited it. So I was having to edit all of this and compile all the footage and spend all this time on it with, at the time, a 10-week-old. So it was an incredibly stress, and while feeling crazy because of the lack of sleep and all that stuff.
You booked that date ahead of the game, and then you felt like, I got to keep it?
Yes. You know, I hate the thing that other parents do where they go like, get that sleep now. You're not going to be blah, blah, blah. But it's like, there needs to be a way to say it where it's not a like condescending, your life is going to be over and miserable thing. But it needs to be a thing of like, like, you should know that for the first 4 months, I've been telling any new parent this, like, for the first 4 months, you will feel insane. You will feel sleep. You will feel like, I've never felt weirder in my life in terms of mentally being on so little sleep. It's like deprivation. It's torture.
It's torture.
You know? It's torture. And also, like, you know, my wife and I said this many times in the first 4 months, which I guess is probably not a great thing, but in full transparency, my wife and I multiple times were like, we have made a terrible mistake.
It's good. But that's great that you have the rapport where you both can just, because that puts two people at ease.
Yeah,
in a weird way.
We're like, this is the worst decision we've ever made. Is it too late to give him back? You know what I mean? But then again, but once they start sleeping through the night, you're like, what a joy. What a now. It's like, because there's also zero receipt for how hard you're working the first 4 months. They're not smiling. They're not looking at you. They're not, there's no like laughing. So there's no,
the twinkle in their eye. And then you're like, oh, it just farted.
Right. Yes, exactly. and then you eventually have they sleep and then life is great. And it's just, I should say I love right now. Like right now has been such a great age. It's like this 15 months because he's smiling. He's now adapting to daycare, where he was like a little like reserved in the beginning. But it should, the developmental leaps once they get into daycare is so fun to watch him like come home with new little skills and stuff. And again, the only problem is the diseases that he brings home, because he's been pretty much on and off sick since November, and he's given everything to us.
Oh yeah.
And I got some disease he gave me when I was at the Borgata a couple weeks ago. I had like the super flu.
Oh.
Worst of all, then I was stuck in Atlantic City.
Right.
So, I mean, can you imagine a worse situation?
Yeah, a great place to be like, I just want some chicken soup and some comfort.
Yeah.
It's like,
they're
know.
Like, we have a buffet. You're like, that's not.
We'll have someone smoking a cigarette right beside you.
There's people on oxygen masks, you know, and everyone's angry, you know.
Everyone.
You ever realize that in casinos? Like, we play so many casinos, I don't think people, like the average person, because the average person probably goes to a casino once or twice a year, and then they come in for a night and they're excited because they're with friends and stuff. If you walk around a casino floor and look at people's faces, 1% of people are having a good time. Every person has like this despondent, miserable face. So it's tough.
Now, obviously, just reaching back, you were talking about, you and your wife went through IVF. Did you plan this for a while? I mean, IVF is a plan. But at what point were you like, let's have kids? Did you want them?
So the weird thing is, Erica and I, my wife, we're both only children. So both of us have changed our mind, I think, 2,000 to 3,000 times since we started dating, about being like, never, because we're like a couple that really is obsessed with traveling. Like, we go to, like, we have a goal of like one new country, one new state every year. We were worried about not being able to do that. We were worried about like the money and the financial situation. So we're like, let's, because it's like every couple that you know that's older that don't have kids are rich. It just is the way it
Absolutely.
Works. Absolutely. It's just how that works.
Just the interest off of the money that I'm spending right now,
yes,
if put
yes.
in like a regular checking account.
Yeah, and a CD. Yeah, it would be, it's crazy. So, but I mean, it's one of those things where we're just, we kept waffling back and forth, but then it became a thing of like, I don't know, I always saw myself being a dad at some point in my life, but the problem was I never felt like an adult yet.
Mm.
So it's that struggle of being like, yeah, no, I'll have a kid like when I feel like an adult. And then, you know, you get to your mid-30s and you're like, okay, still feeling like a child, but at some point, I just didn't want to be like a very old dad. I will also say this. So we just, you know, we were trying regularly and then that didn't work. And then there's the other thing that's not IVF, the thing before IVF. I forgot what that's called. It's like, it's another I, it's like IU, I, it's something, IOU. IOU a baby, you know? So that's whatever that is. But we did that first. That didn't work. Because my wife is also, she's been on birth control since she was like 17 years old.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things of like, that has an effect, you know what I mean, on you if you go on that. Because we were like, oh, she'll just go off that and then we'll probably just immediately have a kid or something like that. Even then, we were like, I don't know, are we going to do IVF? Like that's, it feels like we're going out of our way to have a kid versus like, let's just see what happens. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be kind of thing. But
at what point do you just go, we'll just see what happens?
Yeah. Right, exactly. So I think we did that for like 9 months or something, and then nothing was happening. And I'll be honest, again, this is another one of those things where it's a product of like good timing, because my wife works at like a university and has like unbelievable healthcare. And
thank God.
They paid for IVF. So
wow.
Like, yeah.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Take a pause from your to-do list with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I don't know a lot about parenting. But one thing I've learned, the only thing I really know, is to not give other parents advice on how to parent. Or I should say, like, opinionated advice on how to parent.
Like, this is what you do.
Like, or just the judgment of, like, you know, I know people who have kids that are younger that are, you know, they're sleeping in their kid, they're sleeping in the bed with the parents, and they're not sleep training them, and they're, you know, I have friends that have an 18-month-old and they still are like waking up four times a night and they're just afraid. And it's like, again, personally, that sounds like a nightmare I would never wish on anyone. And I can't believe anybody could do that. But I also wouldn't be like, you need to sleep train your kid. Because even when I told some other comics that have kids that I was like, you know, we were doing the sleep training thing, and they were like, that's like barbaric. You're a monster. How could you ever do that to your kid? Like, let him cry and all that stuff. And it's just a thing of like, you want to just grab someone by the throat when they start doing that.
I know.
So.
And you know what? And I guess we'll all find out if it's barbaric. I was not sleep trained, or was I? There was no word for it. I didn't grow up in an era where the cribs were even safe. Like, they did not pass the standards.
My mom gave me like a pillow and a blanket when I was like 9 days old. Like, there was no like, don't give the. My earliest memories of going to sleep are I'm asking my mom to read me a story, and she would give me a spoonful of Dimetap. Do you remember that?
Yes, like Dimetap, I do.
Grape Dimetap. And she was like, here, have a sip of this. And I'm like, you know, so it's like sleep training is, I was being drugged as a kid. That's what was happening.
Yeah. I mean, my parents' bedroom was, I wasn't even allowed in it at all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I never went into that room. And again, I'm not going to do the whole, because I have a joke about this, but like, look at me, I'm fine. I'm not. There's a weird way that, first of all, we've said it before on this podcast, parenting, nothing's more polarizing than parenting. And everyone's going to tell you whatever you're doing is right and wrong at the same time. There's so much more attention put on methods now in a way, and naming them, right?
You know, and you see some of it play out. Like, I know someone who's, they were like, we're never going to tell our kid no. You know what I mean?
Luck,
or
dude.
Like, yeah. And they're like, we don't say no. We say, you know, there's also things like, I've seen parents say things like, I was talking to my kid and he did something and I was like, great job, man. And they're like, oh, like, we don't say great job. Like, we, you know what I mean? Like, instead we say like, you did it, you know, things like that. Because if you say great job, then it puts pressure on them because then they think they're only doing things for you. That's why also we don't say I'm proud of you. You must say things like, you must be so proud of yourself, because that like self empowers them. And you're like, there's things where you're like, hey man, I think him having his parents' approval from an early age is a good sign.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know why? You know why you say that? Because you're in comedy. We are surrounded with people on stage. They're like, I'd never got the approval I should have as a child.
It's because my dad kept saying, you must be so proud of yourself, instead of saying, you're so proud of me, just once.
Exactly, just once. Would it be like, how about now?
For the love of God. So I don't know. So, and it's like, you know, when we did the sleep training thing, it was like, my mom actually was like, you're not going to be able to do it. You're going to go into the room for sure. So she was like,
challenge. She gave you
my
a
mom
challenge.
Was like, my mom was like, I'll take the bullet. So my mom came over and my wife and I stayed at a hotel like down the block just to try to get some sleep. But also so that we didn't have to listen to him crying. And the first night he cried for like an hour. Like he was like crying for an hour, and then he slept 11 hours. And then the second night he cried for 30 minutes and he slept 11 hours. And then the third night he cried for 10 minutes. And then by the fourth night he was crying like 3 minutes, and then he would be asleep for the night. And then he was immediately sleeping 11 to 12 hours. So you're like, this, it worked so fast.
You like, have you a textbook child when they're like, here's how it might work. You have that child.
Yeah.
Is your baby cam Wi-Fi enabled? Like, can you check at
yes.
it? Okay. Do you,
yes,
when you're
yes,
at the
yes.
club, do you check in ever?
I do. Like, I notice it more when I'm on like the road, you know?
Sure.
My wife and I, we also have like a fun thing of like, I'll like screen record her putting him down sometimes, because, you know, you do that thing where like you put him down and then your arm is stuck under their head and back. And so you have to like, there was a whole method. Like you have to push your arm deep into the mattress to start sliding it out. And then he'll kind of start to become awake and you're like, you don't want to, which is the other thing too. People will be like, you can't put him down when he's asleep. He has to be like kind of awake and then that way, because otherwise he'll wake. Again, whatever. So it works. So it's like he starts, so we're trying to like slide out the arm, and then he eventually kind of starts moving, and it's just, it goes, and you're, by the way, you're, no one ever tells you how deep a crib is once you drop it down after they're past an infant. So you're like, your back is shattered.
Yeah.
I'm not flexible. I can't touch my toes. I'm at like a complete hinge with my arm underneath this kid. I'm sweating. I'm like trying to push my arm down to get out. And then once you finally get that last part of your hand out and you're like, ah, freedom. And then you get out of there. And then my wife's like, you got to watch this video of you doing this. It's hilarious. Because you see me at one point, I just give up where like my head just drops in disappointment. And I'm like, I'm just going to be here all night. I will sleep here. Like this, if I have to, you know?
I'd love a sequence of putting your baby to sleep YouTube channel. I just want to see 100 surveillance video clips.
There's times, then you just get him down, and then you like take one step, and the wood floor is like, and then he wakes up, and you're like, yeah.
But so you're a totally new parent. When you're going on the road, first of all, is it just harder? Do you feel like it's harder to go on the road? Or are you looking forward to it?
I did the Cellar Vegas, which is a week.
That's a long week.
I did that when he was 8 weeks old. And that was, that wasn't terrible. Because again, he wasn't sleeping. We weren't sleeping. So like it was, and I was also prepping for the special. So like that was a thing of like, I got to get out of there. I got to get sleep.
Yes.
I was looking forward to that. I got to like get uninterrupted. I just pretty much worked like, you know, like a full 9 to 5, but preparing for the special that entire week. So that was
beneficial. You get a lot of shows in too, which is nice.
Yeah, you do 2 shows a night. So I was like my act got so much stronger in that week. So that was very good. But I mean, a week in Vegas is an utter nightmare, and no one should ever be allowed to be there for more than 4 days. But, and I hate it, but I'll say leaving now sucks. You can FaceTime with him and he gets very excited when he sees me on FaceTime. But then after like 10 minutes, he gets very frustrated because he's like, I don't understand where you are.
Yeah, it's
so
not a good interface for little kids.
It ends up like diminishing
returns.
Yeah. So now my goal is just to like leave him for shorter bursts. You know what I mean? If I leave him for just a weekend or so, I'm not trying to like stack, you know, full weeks on the road together anymore.
Well, even when you leave at night, obviously, maybe you're not there for bedtime.
Right.
I'm talking about my own life here too. I miss a ton of bedtimes, and then I get home late, and I don't want to miss also mornings. So I get up early to at least have mornings, or else I'm missing it all.
I'll always like wake up, even if I don't go to like drop him off at daycare. If my wife's going to take him, if there's one of the days she's working from home, I'll like spend the time. I'll be like, always wake me up. And it's so funny because when she opens the door to the room, the second the door opens and he sees me, I'll be in a dead sleep. I sleep like, you know, like a bomb could go off and no one can hear. All of a sudden I'll hear, dah! Like she, he just my heart, like it's like leaped out of my chest immediately. Yeah, he comes in as like a bat out of hell. And I'm like, oh my, like it's like the craziest way to wake up. But that is the best part about having a kid, is that it focuses your time in a way where you go, this is all I have time wise. So when I have this time, I'm going to laser focus on. Like, and I do feel like I do more writing now because I don't have all day. I have a finite window until I have to get my kid. And I feel like, okay, this is it. And I got to make the most of it.
It is interesting. And your priorities become pretty clear. There's so much pressure to do all kinds of different work where you're creating content for this medium. And then right. You're writing for stage. And then you're probably working on a special. And maybe you're auditioning or, you know, and you just have to go, two of these things are going. Like, we're just not doing that.
And it's
anymore.
Fun. And it's also one of those things where you feel so like, oh, okay, good. You know, because there is that whole like master of none thing where you go, like, I'm doing all of these things okay, but I should really just focus on, you know, that's the siren song of stand up. It's scaling a mountain, it's climbing an Everest or whatever else. And then you get to that peak when you record the album and you're happy with it and you put out the special. And then there's very little enjoying the view. It's almost immediately you take the chairlift down and you start climbing right immediately again. And you could just hamster wheel that for your entire life of just like, okay, next hour, okay, next hour. But at some point you're like, I need to live a life. I need to do other things that aren't just like creating just hour after hour after hour. It's nice to build a body of work, but you're also like, I want to be able to do other things, you know, enjoy the view for a little bit while I'm up here.
I hate when people say this too, but it's true. You have to live life to write comedy. I want to just ask you some quick sure. sort of non sequitur questions to close this off. What would you rather have, pink eye or a double ear infection?
Honestly, pink eye, because I and my kid has had pink eye before already. And I will say this.
Yeah.
I never knew what like pink eye was, you know what I mean? Like anecdotally, you just hear about people being like, it's like someone like, you know, like farts in your face or something, you know, whatever. But now it's like the doctor was just explaining, he's like, it's just mucus. You know what I mean? It's just like mucus that the duct gets clogged and it goes into that. And you take medicine or drops and it goes away in like a day. An ear infection to me.
I mean, that's a little bit, I've just had it recently. So I'm going to say that's a little bit reductionist, but I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. I don't mean to speak on behalf of all pink-eyed people, but
conjunctivitis expert Mike Feeney.
It's a little reductive, a little condescending towards the pink-eyed community, but a little ableist. But I think
I don't know if it's a day, but I appreciate that.
But dude, an ear infection is brutal. I'd rather have my eye caked shut from pink eye for 3 days than have an earache for two.
Well, as they say, your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah.
Have you ever sent your kid to daycare, you know, maybe with a light fever? Just like, we're doing this.
So this is funny. A couple weeks ago, one of the 47 times he was sick, he was like, you know, we had both, it was at a time where both Erica and I were like, we had fevers from him, and he didn't have a fever. And we're like, okay, thank God. Like, all we need to do is just get him to daycare and then we can go under the blankets and just shiver until we pick him up. And we tried to take him to daycare and he had like a little gunk. I think it was like a little gunk in his eye, but we like got rid of it. And like, we showed up to daycare looking like crap, both of us. And they opened the door to the classroom and immediately the teacher was like, Leo, what happened to your eye? And I'm like, shit. Like, just instantly, it's like, God damn it. And I was like, it's not pink eye. It's just another thing. He got the bacteria. We had the doctor's appointment. They're like, okay, well, you're going to need a doctor to say that before you come in here. And then they were like, also because 4 kids in this class are out with pink eye right now. So we need to make sure. And I go, shit. So then instead of us going under the blankets, we had to take him to the doctor. And they were like, yeah, he absolutely has pink eye. And you're like, God damn it. Then it was us keeping him home for another 2 days. So what we thought was going to be a whole night's sleep, a whole day of being like under the blankets recovering, was just us just taking care of a kid and stuff.
Oh,
so
there's
it was
nothing worse than being turned away by daycare. You're like,
being turned away when you're so sick.
No. And now, so you were talking about the fact that, you know, you and your wife are big travelers and you would go to a new state, a new country every year. Do you have a plan at some point of what your first international trip will be with your kid?
Well, we already did one with him. 6 months, we took him to Aruba. Being a parent in 90-degree heat and sand is not ideal. I mean, he loved the pool. He didn't like the ocean because it was salty. It was burning his eyes and stuff. But, like, he had a great time. I do think we're going to plan a trip to Italy this year.
Yes,
go back to Italy. But I am adamant about leaving him here with my mom and not bringing him to Europe. I do think that there is an important part of my wife and I still having our relationship. You know what I mean? And, like, that is a thing that I think when he gets older, you know what I mean?
Sure,
we'll take him to places, of course. But I think, like, at this age, because he can still go to daycare. We're paying for daycare anyway, right? So
yeah.
It's like, well, obviously, it'll be brutal to miss him.
And what's wrong with missing him?
Exactly. Yeah.
What's wrong with missing him?
That's a good line.
Everyone might need to miss each other every once in a while.
Makes the heart grow fonder.
That's right. He'll never remember you and your wife going to Venice. He'll never remember.
That's actually exactly where we're looking to go. It's so
yeah,
funny.
Baby.
It's
been, yeah. Also go see that before it's underwater.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you so much, Mike. Such a pleasure.
This was fun.
Hey, everyone, go see Mike live if you can, because he is sacrificing a lot to be on that stage for you.
And I'm most likely fighting off an illness at any given moment.
And you're most likely, so you're going to get immunity as well.
Yeah.
Bonus. And check out his album, Rage Against the Routine. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much. I'll see ya.
Thanks so much for listening. Hey, do you know someone debating whether they are one and done or maybe wanting two or more? Why not send this episode along to them? And coming up next week, I'm talking to comedian Jen Brister, who you might know from her hilarious comedy all over the socials. She's big time in the UK and has twin sons. That's right. If you haven't yet, subscribe to this podcast. Stop by Apple Podcasts and post a review. 5 stars. It really helps us. Follow us also on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. We are at Parenting is a Joke. On X, we are at Parenting Joke. We have a Substack with different content every single week. Just go to Substack and search for Parenting is a Joke. Hey, if you're in New York, I'm performing all week. I've got some crazy stuff coming up. You can just find it all on my website, OphiraEisenberg.com. Follow me everywhere, at Ophira E. Did you want to know what kind of number of push-ups I'm doing? Fine, I'll tell you. 44, my friends. My goal is 60 a day, but right now I can do 44. Gonna keep going. Find out where I'm at on my IG stories. Our episode is produced by me and Julie Smith-Klim. Our editor is Nina Porzucchi. Our sound designer is Tina Toby Mack. Our digital marketing is done by Laura Vogel. Our video editor is Melissa Weiss. Our overqualified intern is Jeffrey Kaufman. Thanks to all of the engineers at CityVox. And we'll leave you with a little bit more from Mike Feeney.
Every parent I know is like, you gotta have a kid. Ugh, you'll never know a love like your own. And it just keeps getting better every single day. It just gets better, which it has. But what they're not telling you is the day you have your kid, your life kind of like drops off a pretty big amount. And so it's getting better every day, but I'm still like nowhere near where I was, you know? Like I was living up here, and I keep asking parents, when do I get back there? They're like, 18 years? Never? I don't know. God damn it, you lied to me. So now my goal is just to trick other young couples into having kids. That's my plan. I'm just going to drag you to hell with me. That's what I'm going to do.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.